Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante, in with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Hey, Dusty, how you doing? It's another week of lockdown. How's Hawkinsmith household?
It's just a pleasure to be upright, Jim. That's where we're at.
You've lowered the bar, haven't you?
I have, and I'm barely upright, but here we are.
All right. Well, here's your break. You get to talk Penn State football, so that's a good thing. So let's get to it. We thank our listeners for joining us. And what we have on tap for today, quarter one and two, we're going to take a look at the NFL draft as far as the Penn State players go. Quarter number three, this is the one I'm really looking forward to, Dustin. You had the opportunity to talk with 2021 commit Landon Tengwall, and he had some really interesting things to say, and we're going to listen to some of the quotes from that interview, which was fantastic. Congratulations on that. And in quarter number four, we're going to continue back with the NFL draft theme. We're going to take the first look at next year's draft and how Penn State players fit into that. So without further ado, let's talk Penn Staters in the NFL draft. Dustin, we may as well start at the top, and that is Etor Gross-Matos. He was pick number 38 in round two to the Carolina Panthers. And any disappointment that he dropped into the second round, Dusty?
I don't know about disappointment. It's just the last, 10 or 12 picks of the first round tend to be a little bit funny. And they tend to be a little bit unpredictable. And from my count, I think only one true defensive end went off the board at all in the first round. You saw in the back end of the first round, you know, cornerbacks and wide receivers were a theme. There were, a handful of linebackers as well. And I think, you know, there were runs on those positions. And I don't think that's uncommon in the draft. And you had the Packers do what they did and, you know, teams trading back in and all that. So in all the craziness, you almost always have a first round talent or two or five, maybe in some cases, drop out of the first and into the second. You know, I was looking at the Giants there at pick, I believe, 36. The Lions needed a defensive lineman at 35. So I wouldn't have thought even going into the second day that he would have slipped even a handful of picks. But he did, and he lands in Carolina, which, you know, with Matt Rhule, a former Penn State guy, former Temple guy, building from the inside out. I looked at their draft. They picked seven players in the draft. All seven of them were on defense. So it gives you an indication of where Matt Rhule wants to take this thing. The first two picks that the Panthers made were on the defensive line, including Gross-Matos, or as Trey Wingo would call him, Gross-Matos.
yeah. Didn't Roger Goodell have a problem with it also?
I think I get it. And there's a lot of names they have to pronounce. And if you roll the tape on all the recruits' names that we've mispronounced on the Keystone Kickoff Show, we'd be embarrassed too. So I don't know. I don't hold a grudge against them or anything, but it was just funny. But he lands in a good situation. And Matt Rhule, the way that he talked about him, A, he said he's still young. And obviously, you like the size and speed package at 6'5", 265, and with the quickness that he showed. It really wouldn't stun me, Jim, if you saw him get up to 285, because I think he's got the frame for it, and play more of a hybrid defensive tackle type role. It'll be interesting. We haven't really seen him a ton play in tight quarters, like on the inside. We've usually seen him operating in space. But the way that he talked about him and the way that they're building, I'm curious what his future holds.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Well, first of all, on that dropping to the second round, what's interesting is if you go, you could drop just a couple spots and go from round one to round two. So I think he was, a lot of places had him round pick number 26, 27, somewhere in there. So going at pick 38, that wasn't much of a drop. But the other thing, and you alluded to it, was going to the Panthers. And Matt Rhule, who drafted all defensive players, you knew that was the emphasis of the coach, of the team. So I think that makes this a good place for him to go because it was a priority for the team. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. They're going to prioritize, you know, that defense. And if you look back at the Panthers, really in their height, whatever it was, 4, 5, 6 years ago, they were built that way. And, you know, in football, in the NFL, if you are dominant in that front four, it can allow you to do so many things with your defense because you've got the numbers on your side. So he's going to be part of that, you know, getting back to where the Panthers once were. And I don't know about you, but I'm a believer in Matt Rhule being an NFL coach. And I think at some point, you know, you build this way. It's not the glory positions. I don't know. You know, I don't really know. I think the Panthers are in okay shape at a lot of their key spots on offense. So they'll be an interesting team to watch. And Yetur Gross-Matos will be an interesting player to watch.
Well, I also like when you have a team that obviously has a plan. You may or may not agree with it, but it was obvious what Matt Rhule was doing. He has a plan. Let's see if he could execute it. Now, next up is KJ Hamler. And speaking of having a plan, the Denver Broncos obviously wanted to add tools at wide receiver. They spent their first pick on Jerry Jeudy, who I love, great player out of Alabama. And then in the second round with pick number 46, they select KJ Hamler, which I think is about where we expected him to go. And me personally, I like the fit that, again, this was a team with a plan that said, we're going to get some more weapons there at wide receiver. What do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, so there's a purpose to it. A couple of things jump out right away. Number one, adding Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler in rounds 1 and 2. You're looking for some juice. You're looking for some guys who can stretch opposing defenses. They've got an interesting core of playmakers that they've surrounded around Drew Lock. Drew Lock looks like he has a chance to be their franchise guy. There's still a long way to go for him, but I think they're giving him every opportunity and every weapon to get there. What this could come down to, in my eyes, as he links up with Deshaun Hamilton, is these guys Hamler and Hamilton might be vying for that number three wide receiver job. And, you know, that Hamler's arrival could come at Hamilton's expense, possibly. The other place my mind went was just, okay, what does the future hold at the next level for KJ Hamler? 5'9", about 180 pounds. Call him the human joystick. He reminds me, you know, of a guy they also called the human joystick who also played in the AFC West, Dante Hall for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was 5'8", 187. He didn't make a huge impact in his career in the passing game, but he did in the return game. I think KJ Hamler arrives maybe a little bit better, a little bit more polished, a little bit more capable of making it a contribution on offense. Dante Hall had a career high of 40 catches. I think Hamler will make a bigger impact on offense, but their similarities are there in terms of their size and their skill set. And I just wanted to look for somebody who has gotten the job done at the NFL level at KJ Hamler's size. And that's a good one. I think KJ Hamler, yeah, as long as he can be durable, which is always the great question, and usage to keep him durable is also the question, which is probably why you didn't see Dante Hall play a huge amount of snaps, make a huge amount of catches for the Chiefs back in the day. It'll be interesting to see how his workload is managed to keep that frame healthy.
Right. And again, the fact that they brought in a number one guy like Jerry Jeudy, and who they have another very good receiver, name escapes me right now.
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. So with multiple receivers like that, and KJ Hamler not being the main guy like he had to be at Penn State, I could see them doubling up other people, you know, and it's like hit Jeudy, and then all of a sudden you get Hamler with the home run. So I think it was a great place for him to end up, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play in the NFL. And like you said, on special teams, he's always capable of, you know, breaking a big one. So I'm going to keep an eye on the Denver Broncos this year with KJ Hamler there among the other weapons. They also picked up, apparently, Drew Lock's tight end from college. They also drafted, which is kind of an interesting pick. So it looks like they're trying to surround him with weapons. Let's see if we could get in someone else here. Next up, a little bit of a surprise to me, but he was trending upward, and that was John Reed, who I guess he really helped himself at the combine, and he was drafted in the fourth round by the Houston Texans. I was a little surprised that he went as high as the fourth round. I thought he had a pretty spotty senior season. What did you think, Dustin?
I think the film, when it's broken down by teams, looks pretty good. And I think the skill set for him to be able to play in man-to-man coverage, probably play that nickel slot cornerback role. His height, his size is fine. His times and the way he performed at the NFL Combine really validated what teams believe they saw on film, which is he can turn and he can run with just about anybody. You know, I think he had the battle and he lost a full year. Really, when it came down to it, more than a full year because of that knee injury at Penn State. I think his best football is ahead. I think people liked his character. You know, Bill O'Brien mentioned that James Franklin highly recommended him, which isn't a surprise when you talk about his smarts and intelligence. And then Bill O'Brien also made a reference to when he was at Penn State and he had a camp, and John Reed was there as either a freshman or a sophomore. They pulled him aside, had him do some individual work. And one of the things that stood out was his intensity and his seriousness about football. And if that doesn't mirror the Houston Texans head coach, I don't know what does. I think John Reed, as that third corner, I think he can make a nice living for himself and a nice career for himself. I kind of expect him to hang around the league for upwards of a decade. I think that third corner role is as valuable now as it's ever been, and I think he can be pretty good in that role.
Yeah, I think you're right, and there's also, he always showed quite a bit of maturity. We know that he's a smart guy, and those kind of guys, they tend to stick around for a while in the league, don't they, Dustin?
Yeah, and teams, obviously teams, the way that things are going in that cornerback spot and trying to spread you out and beat you and test the depth of your cornerbacks. You know, and the number three corner now is a starter in the NFL. And the Texans have a good bit of depth there. I think they have the luxury of bringing John Reed along if they need to. Maybe he plays on special teams. Maybe he's a little bit further down on the depth chart. But I think if anybody's going to take that job seriously and approach it like a pro and train and study film and do all the things you need to do to make it in the league, John Reed's going to do that. The NFL Combine showed athletically he definitely makes the grade. And I think skill-wise, he's going to get better and better. I'm excited for that pick as well. John Reed, fourth round of the Houston Texans. We'll take a quick break. We've got two more to go. NFL Draft and Penn State. Stick around.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.